Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network.
I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. We've got Jimmy TV and Joe Doug, as per usual.
Yeah, baby.
Thumbs like a truck. What?
Oh. Tonight we will just be talking about some Game of Thrones, as Alan is predisposed. But hopefully, we will be coming out with a pod tomorrow, where I and Alan will talk about some Mad Men.
I hope so.
On the dock for tonight, of course, is some Game of Thrones, and then hopefully we'll get into a little bit of the upcoming summer movie slate.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy TV sounds like he is very well prepared for that, so.
Yeah, there's some notes.
He took to his Entertainment Weekly very hard this week.
Got to.
But all right, let's just hop in here with the Game of Thrones. I have to say, I mean, clearly the first two episodes were all set up, but I think this episode definitely felt the most like, you know, what everything you want out of a Game of Thrones episode. The humor was there, some of the funny stuff was there. Definitely some more people to learn, but I thought the introductions were really well done, especially for Edmure and the Blackfish.
Yeah.
And I think they did a really good job juggling the storylines, making sure that, I mean, you know, nothing really goes on north of the Wall for the most part, at least with Jon Snow. So they seem to be cutting out a lot of that stuff. But, I mean, I think they're doing a pretty good job with balancing it and making sure that we get exactly what we need out of every storyline.
Yeah, just going back to kind of just the what goes into each episode scene-wise. Like you said, like it really felt like they were back into their rhythm on this episode, and it was the first one this season so far that I kind of immediately wanted to watch again, and not just because of the last scene or anything like that. So it makes me wonder if maybe they shouldn't try to do those like two episodes where all they're doing is kind of reintroducing characters, and maybe, you know, just completely, you know, instead of doing that for two episodes, do that kind of for three or four episodes, but really focus on one of the sets of groups of people and to really give it a little bit more of a rhythm in that one area. But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, we're finally starting to get into some shit, which is good.
Always good.
It is good. Yeah, it definitely found its rhythm. I thought, I mean, clearly the bookends, which we'll talk about a little later, especially the end scene, I think made the episode. But I found a lot of, I found a lot of the humor was really, it's always nice when Game of Thrones is just stupid and silly, because, you know, it kind of is for the most part. And, like, when they realize it's kind of stupid and silly, it's always a good time.
You're talking about room scene or the small council scene where they're shuffling the chairs around?
And
Edmure just fucking up in general at the start of the episode, right? I mean, that's great. I mean, he was such a fucking dick in Rome too, and such a screw up in that. It's great to see that carry over. He plays it so well.
Brutus is back, except in Game of Thrones. But yeah, no, that, and then also I'd say the stupid little cookie that or cake that Hot Pie makes Arya was
a goal.
Pretty nice.
That was ridiculous. Yeah.
And of course the pod pain. Deflowering scene.
Oh my goodness!
So good.
But that was, I mean, that was that might have been too much.
No. Oh, I loved it.
It was just. Right.
I liked the actual scene with Pod in the whore house, but the after scene was weird.
Wait,
that seemed unnecessary.
When he's telling him about how he didn't have to pay.
When they really want to get the deets.
Yeah, they want the deets.
No, I like that part. I'm the other way around. I thought the earlier stuff when he was at the Hua house was a little ridiculous. Ladies doing all crazy sorts of bendy moves. But then I really liked the two guys kind of getting in, like, tell us everything, Podrick.
No, the whole thing was gold. Even when it started with him just staring at Roz's tits while he was like packing up the little barge there of books.
That was solid. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, the whole and Pod is just so awkward. That whoever the actor is, he just plays Pod so well. Just such an awkward dude.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, that was a delight. And yeah, no, Edmure fucking up at the very beginning was also a delight. The Blackfish was not having any of it. I thought that introduction was really good for both of them, especially Edmure, just to show that, you know, he's clearly a fuck up, but unfortunately Rob needs him because he needs the men. And I also thought that the scene afterwards where Rob was talking to both Edmure and the Blackfish was really good because it actually showed Rob being kind of kingly.
Yeah.
Instead of like, because I mean, it's easy to order his mom around, you know? But, like, having to order, like, people he doesn't even really know that much and having to make them respect him, like, I think that scene was really well done with when Rob puts Edmure in his place there.
Yeah, he was really fucking up. Rob cracking that whip!
And I think the Blackfish is a delight as well.
Yes. For some reason, when I pictured him, I pictured him as a more round fella. I mean, obviously, I know he's like good in battle and stuff like that, but I just figured I kind of pictured him being a little bit rounder.
Yeah.
A little bit softer in his old age.
Yeah. Yes.
More of a blowfish than a blackfish. But
yes, perhaps.
Nice. Nice. But yeah, so I don't know. I enjoyed all that. And I thought it was good that they kind of dropped it after the beginning of the episode because. I guess they went back that for that one scene with like the lesser Lannisters and Talisa there, but other than that, I think they did what they needed to do with that and then got out quick from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they certainly seemed to set up their pieces and then get the fuck out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then like Jerdog brought up the council meeting scene with all the chair moving and posturing. Was nice.
Do you think Tywin set that up? Set up the chairs on the table like that?
I mean, yeah, he had to have, right? I mean, everyone's on the same side and Tywin's
someone
had
to have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
Yes, it is.
I mean, even for Tywin, you know?
Well, if I remember correctly, we got one other council scene, right, in the first season, and it was kind of more, I think... If I remember correctly, wasn't Robert kind of sitting on the opposite side, and then the other guys just kind of flanked him like that? It was more of a round table sort of sitting.
I mean, it was still a rectangle,
but it definitely wasn't the same where everyone's on the same side, and then Ty was just chilling at the head, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. I vaguely remember one small console scene where like Ned running it because Rob's off doing whatever, fighting or fucking or whatever, and he's like sitting kind of in the middle of the table, right? And the people are all around him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it was a really, really kind of hilarious but cool, poignant scene of them shuffling around in there.
Yeah. Did you also catch that Carcetti's growl was back?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Right, as soon as someone with power is around Carcetti, he gets his growl on.
Wait, are you sure? I was positive
because later in the episode when he was just talking to Tyrion, the growl wasn't there anymore. He was doing the growl specifically for Tywin Lannister.
He was definitely growling in that scene.
He's a genius.
Yes.
He needs to become Batman a little bit when he's in front of Cersei or Tywin, apparently.
He's puffing himself up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't believe we got any Joffrey, right, this week? Or Margaery, did we?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, are you guys good on that? Do you wish we got a little bit more of that, or do you think we're good in that storyline at the moment, at least?
We're good.
No problem.
They had a lot of other things they need to hit.
Yeah,
they did a lot of setup for that in the first two episodes. I don't know what else. What else do we have here? I mean, we talked about Arya. Arya got one scene, got a nice little.
Danny selling that dragon.
Yeah. Well, first off, of course, they had to set up the whole intrigue with her two counselors now, where Barristan and Jorah were at, you know, not seeing eye to eye, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, Danny. Selling a dragon, the biggest dragon, as whatever that dude's name is. I still don't know his name. Ask for it.
Kazik or something like that. I mean, there isn't a soul out there that thinks that she's actually going to sell him her dragon.
There's not a soul out there that doesn't think this guy's going to meet a very untimely death. Very painful sometime soon.
This guy needs to get himself a fire extinguisher and start carrying it around with him wherever he goes. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, he should be wearing a wet blanket everywhere he goes.
Someone had the bucket of sand ready.
Mm. But yeah, no, I mean, clearly she's very confident. And I mean, I know you said in the first, I think after the first episode, that you think she definitely is understanding exactly what he says. And I mean, I could see that, but I don't know if they've clearly clued us in on that yet, you know?
Well, they definitely haven't, and maybe they're going to let it slide and just have Miss Sandy kind of pass along what he's actually saying.
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe Miss Sandy won't tell her kind of how he's been acting too, as like a sort of, you know, you can
trust this sort of thing. I'm out to get really maps.
Well, no, it would just be fun if she knew exactly what he was saying, you know.
They had a little fun at his expense before the fires.
Oh yes. But yeah, and then Danny with her swag on high after telling Jorah and Barristan to go, you know, to go fuck themselves if they have to say anything in front of Danny when she's doing some business.
Yeah.
Her and Miss Sandy were just like. You know, she had that nice little line where she was just like, yeah, all men die, but we aren't men.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of that?
Yeah, she's going to die eventually.
It reminded me of the scene in Jurassic Park when they're talking about the frogs taking over the world and the women inheriting the earth.
Oh, that was actually entertaining, not ridiculous. This was much more along the lines of Eowyn in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, a little zing should have happened afterwards.
Yeah.
Along the line. But yeah, I don't know. Let's see. What else do we have here?
We had more of Theon.
We did have more of Theon, but we didn't really... Nothing really happened. I mean, he got released, and then the random dude saved him. But we still don't know who the random dude is.
We still don't know much about Boy.
Yeah.
That's what the internet's keep calling him, just Boy.
Yeah, just
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
And we don't know where he is either, except that he's not on the Iron Islands.
Yeah, indeed.
And they're playing a little fast and loose with that thread, right?
Yeah, I mean, no one really knows what's exactly going on with that, so I think that's great. I mean, it's great to keep everybody on their toes.
So this isn't you don't know it's deviating from. Book five, then.
Yeah, I mean, from what we know through the books, this isn't quite how things lined up. So it's very interesting to follow, and I'm very much into that storyline. I like that a lot.
That said, it can very easily snap right back in line with the book.
Oh yeah. Oh no, totally.
Like, so, I mean, it feels
like there could be like one line, and all of a sudden it's going to be back into it. But
yeah.
But I would think that they're not just. Curving away from it a little bit just to bring it back in real quick. I would think they're going to take it out at least a little bit longer and give us a little bit more, a little something new. But
they're going to have to, right? Because I mean, what else are they going to do with Theon? I mean,
right.
unless they start eating into that storyline already, and then they're really going to be up shit creek eventually.
And I would certainly think they're going to, you know, they've already kind of added as many new characters as I would think they're kind of. Add, so I think they're going to bring it around to something. And we know there are some Iron Men still kind of in that area. So maybe Boy is indeed taking Theon back to his sister and we'll get some Yara action.
We'll see.
We could get some of his dad too, right?
Yeah, Balin. Yeah. Right, Balin?
Isn't it no Balin? Doubt.
Whichever one it is. One of the Greyjoys.
The whole Greyjoy crew.
Yeah,
there are a lot of them that we haven't met yet, but obviously we're not going to meet the ones that we haven't met.
Yeah, there's a lot of people we haven't met yet. I mean, we haven't even really been properly introduced to Beric Dondarrion yet, I don't think, so.
Yeah, we haven't. We haven't met Beric.
We didn't get any Hound either, did we?
Well, we just had Angwe banging his head up against the...
Right.
Yeah. let's see, what else? We had a couple other one scene check-ins as well.
We had the Stannis thing. The Stannis thing is also a departure from the books. The Stannis and Melisandre scene. And I would think they're certainly setting that up to be. I mean, I think they were heavy-handed enough where we're not being spoilerish at all. It certainly seems like she's going to be going after Gendry.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, she's going after a bastard. I mean, she's going after one of King Robert's bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that we've known, and I don't think they're going to add another character. So I would say she's definitely going after Gendry.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in some of the trailers, haven't we seen scenes with her and Thoros?
Ooh, that would be fun.
I'm not sure. I'd have to restudy those.
Them both being Red Godly.
Yeah.
Stannis getting a little randy, though.
Yeah, Stannis did not want Melisandre to leave.
You want another shadow creature, baby.
Mm, who doesn't?
He's too weak.
Yeah, what the hell? We won't even get into that.
Yeah, that whole thing is just is something else. I wonder when we're going to check in with Davos again.
I would think her Melisandre leaving, I think, gives us a good opportunity to just have Stannis and Davos.
Stannis and Davos need some Stannis and Davos time.
They need to bro out a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe a little
little bros before hoes.
Is it Patchface that's on Dragonstone?
Oh God, no.
Hey-o.
We could use a little Patchface, I think.
No, we really couldn't.
No one ever needs Patchface.
Oh, they also had a new song in there. We can get to that a little later.
They were really singing out the bear with the honey and hair or whatever.
Yep, Bear and the Maiden Fair.
Yeah, but we can get to that a little later. Okay, another one we had was North of the Wall. We had the wildlings check in on see a mass horse grave that was very nicely.
Not really grave.
I mean, it was very nicely laid out. A corpse.
Opposed to the crop circle.
I got it.
Oh, that was nice.
Thank you.
Is there supposed to be any significance to that besides being really creepy?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you know, I took it to mean that White Walkers, like, you know, are understand things. I guess they can do, you know, they can make shapes.
They're into art.
They're artists. Yeah,
I love those fascinations.
Yeah, they're not just like, you know, brainless, mindless things kind of flumping around like the wits kind of are. So I think that is a little interesting that
I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about that, Jimmy TV. That is interesting. I mean, yeah, clearly, you know, they're multi-dimensional people. I mean, they're not out just to kill humans.
They're also
out to have fun with bodies.
They're artistes.
They are artistes.
Mm. I wonder what will happen with that. I mean, that's the first time we've definitely seen them actually do anything, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember in the very, 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 very first scene of the whole damn series when we got a little bit of White Walker taste. The body parts and things were kind of placed not unintentionally, I believe.
They were kind of neatly propped up here and there.
Yeah, I think so. If I remember correctly. All right. Well, that should be interesting to see how that turns out. And they definitely made sure to mention that some of the fallen crows were no longer there. So.
Indeed, I like that scene because that was a nice little quick, you know, whatever 2-3 minute scene with those guys that advanced their storyline a little bit, without getting really into the action. So, you know, we'll get that one episode where we follow them a little bit more probably.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave them something like a goal as well. Before they just kind of seemed, I mean, they're clearly moving south, but they kind of seemed a little aimless. But then when Mance was like, "All right, take Snow and 20 others, and you're going to scale the wall," you know, that kind of gives them a clear goal.
And I'm going to write the biggest fucking fire you've ever seen.
Yeah.
right. What worries me, though, is that might be the last we see of Mance this season.
Well, he's got to light a fire.
Well, yeah, okay, so he might light his fire, but, I mean, you know, obviously, Dormund, Orel, Jon Snow, Ygritte, they're going to go on this big-ass mission to climb the wall and do, you know, and get shit done. How much is that going to play out? You know, are they going to make it back to Mance this season?
Would you rather have, like, 5 or 10 scenes of Mance stumbling around in the snow, or would you rather have one scene of him lighting the biggest fucking fire you've ever seen?
I think I'd rather have 2 scenes of him playing that nice little mandolin lute thing that he has.
Totally. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is I think I would like to have seen him, his relationship with Jon Snow a little bit more than just him kind of question him offhandly for 2 minutes in the past two episodes.
Yeah, I could see that. I also like to see how he kind of interacts with some of his other people, like why, you know, I mean, clearly he's the king and he's the leader, but, you know, we haven't really seen him actually lead anyone except for those five wildlings. I don't know. It would be nice to see kind of how he relates to the rest of the wildlings and stuff, too, but I don't know. Maybe that's what we'll get if we get any more.
Yeah, rings. Maybe. That'd be sweet. I would dig that.
Yeah. And don't we have to meet his wife at some point, too, don't we?
I'm not sure if she was ever casted or anything like that, but we don't get point of views from Mance ever in books, so I would love some strictly wildling stuff without any of the people below the wall with around. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Staying north of the wall, we also had a return for the Night's Watch, Craster's Keep.
Oh, man. What a shithole.
Yeah, that did not go well.
Some delightful Samwell Tarly awkwardness everywhere. I mean, that dude can't go anywhere without being awkward.
Craster pwned him, and then he went to go watch a baby get born.
Hello.
Which is, I don't know which is worse, so.
I'm sure he had some sort of professional curiosity about it.
Yes, obviously.
Wasn't he talking about birthing or delivering babies early in a previous episode or something?
Yeah, he might have. I mean, when they came back through their last season, maybe.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to take her away and deliver that baby. I've seen it done on goats.
Wait, what?
Making up some fan fiction right now.
But now since she's given birth. She's
delivering a baby goat.
Hey, yeah.
And then eating it.
Oh! No wonder he gets so fat all the time.
There were certainly a fair amount of the Night's Watch was looking pretty edgy.
Oh yeah, they were looking pretty shitty and Craster
was really really about trying to let them not come in into his nice little hut thing that he's got going on. Yeah. And then he saw Gren starting to tickle his sword a little bit, and he was like, come on then.
Yeah, tensions are high up in that piece, and then of course the baby that was born was another boy, so.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, something's going to happen there.
Something's definitely going to happen.
Wink, wink. But yeah, so I think that's all of the one scene ones, right? I think.
What are you talking about?
No, those are all, that's like one scene check-ins for each story.
I think we've pretty much covered everything but Brienne, Jamie, and Locke. Yes.
And what's his name?
Locke. Locke. L-O-C-K-E, I believe. Locke.
Okay. But yeah.
And he's played by Christopher Guest, which I didn't really realize after the first time.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
That's not Christopher Guest. It looks like him from Princess Bride, but that's not Christopher Guest.
No, that's the dude from...
it's someone like Christopher Guest, isn't it?
That's the dude from Almost Famous, the band manager.
Who is it? What's his name?
British guy.
It's the dude that played young Jeffrey Rush in Shine, right?
Oh, I don't know. But he certainly has got some Christopher Guest going on, and it cracks
he
me
does.
Up.
He does. He really looks like the six-fingered man.
Yeah, he does. Noah Taylor. Is that who we think it is? Noah Taylor?
Yeah,
that's who it is.
Yes, Noah Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, yeah, he's definitely not Vargo Hoat, but I guess he's something.
He's good.
Supposedly he lisped something at some point. I think it wasn't in this past episode, but the one before that. I'll have to go back and give it a listen.
Yeah, I guess he couldn't be very menacing if he was just lisping everything all the time.
No, Sapphires.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I mean, it was nice to see kind of Jaime starting to care for Brienne a little bit. I mean, even though he was doing it jokingly at first on the backs of the horses there, he all of a sudden got super serial and he was like, no, this is really going to happen. You should just kind of let it happen.
Yeah, getting some of that good character development.
Yeah.
Jamie making a little bit of a turn.
Because he definitely started off as, like, you know, one of the main villains of the whole damn thing, right?
Yeah.
But not such a giant douche anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was just nice to see him still be Jamie, but, like, caring, you know what I'm saying? Like, still have the Jamie air, but, like, being trying to help some people, you know, doing something good, if you will. But yeah, so, and they were singing the song there. Yeah, I think that's the second song we've gotten, right?
They were belting it out when we first saw them.
Yes.
Really belting it out. Mm. Really.
And really, really kind of, you know, and not in an entertaining way.
No.
You know?
No. They were just trying to pass the time.
Yeah, there was no emotion in it. You know, there's no, you know, when we met Thor, she was happily singing Reigns of Castamere and doing a merry jig, you know, through the forest. These guys were all just kind of stone-faced.
Yeah.
You know, singing a hymn.
It was weird.
Yeah. Kinda weird. Yeah, and then, you know, they get to the camp there at night, and Jamie goes a little too far, it seems like.
Jamie runs his mouth a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Locked in like that.
Didn't like that one bit.
He loses his hand. Which I was actually kind of surprised that they did that so quickly. But I guess since they didn't kind of have any of the beginning chapters of the third book with Brienne and Jaime, I guess they had to kind of do that. But
yeah, I think it was perfect timing, I think, this, the end of this third episode, because it's the hook, right? I mean, now, like, all right, this is some serious shit that's finally gone down in this season. Let's see where this takes us. And not only that, let's see where it takes us, you know, story-wise, but let's see where it takes us as far as how they're going to get rid of his hand. You see what I'm saying? Like, is he going to do the old, oh, I'm going to stick my hand in my sleeve trick?
Yes.
Or are they going to do something digital or what? So
well,
I'm
it definitely
very,
looked, it
very curious to see how they play this.
It definitely kind of looked like
can't
they,
wait.
It definitely kind of looked like they did something digital when they chopped it, you know, when he
definitely
pulled back
digital
a little bit.
Chopped it. But what are they going to do now? I want to see. I want to see if that arm is a good 4 or 5 inches longer than the other one. Because if it is, he's just got a balled up fist in there.
He's just wearing a mitten.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that they made the kind of a big deal about Tyrion not losing his full nose, because, you know, he'd have to go around wearing a little piece of cloth over his nose and have to go in and CGI it or whatever. So I would think they're just gonna do something. I mean, they're gonna dumb that thing down somehow. So I think we're gonna get ourselves a little mitten, a little glove.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I could see them
an extra long right sleeve.
I could see them pulling some like camera tricks where we like almost never see it. At least later on in the beginning, I could definitely see them trying to do some CGI shit and making it look really ridiculous.
Him kind of waving it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I guess maybe he'll just have a really big stump, like a big bandage, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, something like that.
Initially.
But yeah, so.
Or just stick a chainsaw on the end of it.
Hey!
There you go. But what the hell happened? They chopped his hand off, he yelled, and then the credits began to roll, and then they were playing this, what was this song that they were playing? Did anyone
Back
else
the,
find that
the,
weird?
The Bear and the Maiden Fair.
Like a punk version.
Yep,
yeah.
A bear.
How punk rock is cutting out someone's hand?
Mm.
Yeah.
I found that to be really jarring. I was just like,
that was,
what
that
is
was
this?
Jarring.
Benioff said that was intentional. I saw it in an interview.
Well, I assume it would be, but still. I mean, that was just something else right there.
It was intentionally jarring.
Yeah. It's kind of a da-da-da-da-da-da. What?
Yeah, is that what it
Wasn't
was?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, oh, this scene's going all right. You know, I mean, you know, obviously this isn't going to go very well for Jamie, and then it's turned south, you know, and, you know, he's kind of got a knife in his eye or whatever. And then he's like, all right, and oh, we're getting close to the end of the episode, and how about I chop off your hand? And that's kind of what the music cue was, right?
Along the same lines on YouTube, someone put together a clip of that, the last scene, you know, it's just like the last minute where he just chops his hand off. And then instead of going to the Bear and the Maiden Fair, they just play the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song. That's pretty good.
That is good. That is good. We'll have to link that in the post. But yeah, I think that's about it, right? I think that's gonna do it for Game of Thrones this week.
That's it.
And we are off and we are rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, they finally definitely, I mean, the past 2 weeks were, I feel like the past 2 weeks were less set up and more just kind of being like, oh, hey, remember me sort of stuff. And now we actually have like, yeah, some solid story plots, and like the thrust is starting to move forward a little bit.
I would agree also. This definitely still, I mean, it was still very much of setting things up and moving things around and whatnot, but at least it felt like it was going somewhere, whereas before, like you said, it was just kind of like, oh, this person's here doing this. This just happened to this person. Like, instead of just being like a three-minute recap of the previous season, we got a two-episode recap of the previous season, and now we're into the new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, to be honest, 70% of Game of Thrones is just moving pieces around, so.
True that.
But yeah, so we'll come at you guys next week with some more Game of Thrones. Before we leave, though.
Before we get into the movie talk.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, whoa, hey.
Jimmy TV throwing a curveball up in this.
Just real quickly, I wanted to mention this. Jimmy TV, you know, TV after all. I was watching this new show, Defiance, on Sci-Fi right before this pod, and it's not bad.
Really?
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not one of the best shows on TV or anything like that, and this is obviously the pilot, so I think it might actually be a little bit, hopefully, worse than the rest of the season, because I think the pilot episodes are never quite as good. Well, you know, initially, they get the first 30 minutes generally obviously have to be good, because they got to kind of hook you into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, shows don't really find their voices until a little bit later. But, yeah, it's just not bad. It's not bad. It's definitely better than, what was that stupid show that cost a ton of money to make?
Terra Nova?
Yes, it's definitely better than Terra Nova.
Is this the game, is this the show that's based off the video game? Because I thought Sci-Fi had
I think they kind of came out simultaneously almost, or you know, like they kind of intended that I think the game's been out for a little bit, but it came out to lead into the show, but yes, it is. Okay. It's like a massive online game or something like that.
Have you played the game at all?
Hell no.
did the show make you want to play the game at all?
Well, you know, it made me curious about where this show came from, and then I kind of saw the video game, and I thought that was an interesting ploy by Sci-Fi. Mm. I certainly don't want to play the game, but I will continue to watch the show, I think, for at least a few episodes. They got me on that, at least.
Okay. Well, I wanted to make a comment on the whole pilot thing. Usually, the pilots are worse than what the show is, but I feel like this year it's been kind of reversed. I feel like a lot of the pilots have been better than what the show has become. Like, I would argue that, like, at least for some of the new shows, now, of course, most of the new shows are absolutely awful, such as Revolution and The Following, but I would say those pilots were probably better than what the show currently is, which isn't saying much. But.
Right.
Before we leave TV, have you been watching any Hannibal and or Bates Motel?
No, but I am curious about both. I think I just need to be a little bit lazier and a little bit more not into what I'm currently watching when I'm doing study hall, so I can drop in and catch an episode or two of both of those shows. I'm watching this follow up anime series from the guy who was doing Cowboy Bebop. This is the Samurai Shampoo. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, so I've been watching that.
Is that new or is it just like recently?
No. It's. No, I'll neither. It's just on Netflix, and it was on my instant queue, and I watched a couple episodes and kind of got into it. So
nice. All right. Well, without further ado, then, let's get a little movie talk going on. I guess we're about 3 weeks away from the first big blockbuster being released, which I guess is Iron Man 3.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, and of course, on Friday we have a new Tom Cruise movie called Oblivion, which basically just looks like a badass version of Wall-E with action.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I'm not really interested into it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to go see it because it looks ridiculous. And I don't know why Morgan Freeman's in it, so that's why I need to go see it. But, yeah, I don't know. Clearly, it doesn't look like this year, at least for the summer, is nearly as exciting as last summer was. With the blockbusters and such, but are there any movies coming out this summer that we're interested in, we're excited about, we want to come out now, sort of thing?
My lord, there are a lot, actually, to be honest. For me, like you said, there, I don't think there's any one in particular that really stands out.
From White House Down?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, yes, kind of, but also no, obviously, at the same time. And Joe, I'm really surprised you hit me with White House Down, because I know for a fact there's a movie that you're definitely more excited to see than White House Down this summer. What do you think it is? What do you think it is? You go nuts whenever you see a trailer for it.
Oh!
Yeah, dog. Fast and Furious 6, my friend.
Oh, my God. I'm not ashamed to admit I have not seen a single Fast and Furious.
What?
Oh, Bagman. Oh, Bagman.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single one. Yeah, I promise.
Have you seen the two Expendables movies?
I've seen one of them.
I mean, I think that it's more or less along the same lines.
Bagman, you got to get in on this.
Yeah.
Bagman, it's so over the top and delightful.
Han is so awesome.
I mean, there's no way that you can't enjoy watching a Fast and Furious movie. Or at least the last couple ones, at least.
If I was a woman, I'd have Han's baby.
Don't watch Tokyo Drift. Do not watch Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, I heard that was the worst one with Sam Winchell then, right?
Is that the main guy in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's horrible, but Han is in it. Oh, my God, Han.
Okay, well, maybe I'll
check. So Han right now.
Han is so badass that they had to start writing prequels. Spoiler alert. Han dies.
we don't know that he actually dies, but his car goes off a cliff.
Alright, spoiler alert, Han dies in Tokyo Drift 3, but he's so badass they had to start making prequels so they could keep Han around.
Oh man, that does sound ridiculous. They also announced that the release date for Fast and Furious 7 today.
Already?
Yeah. Really?
Good lord, they're really getting those things out quick.
I believe it's coming out July 11th, 2014.
I'm putting it on my calendar.
And it is sandwiched between X-Men, the new X-Men movie, and some sci-fi movie that I can't remember right now.
Some bullshit that doesn't matter.
Pretty much. But yeah, so they announced that today.
Solid. I guess in the next month, we have, I guess not a month, I guess, you know, mid-May to mid-June or something along those lines, we're getting... We're getting the new Star Trek, we're getting Great Gatsby, and we're getting Man of Steel. All three of those I'm pretty excited for.
I'm definitely excited for Star Trek 2. I thought the first one was very enjoyable. And I'm definitely excited for the second one. The other two I feel like Great Gatsby is just going to be really shitty, but it's going to be something that you need to see sort of thing, you know? But I don't have high hopes for, like... I mean, it's going to be really over the top, which, I mean, it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I like the really over stylized.
Yeah.
I like the look of it. I never really liked the Great Gatsby story that much or anything like that. I'm not really sure why people are always all over it and whatnot. But
What did you think of Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge? Did you like those movies?
Yes, I did. Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I like that over the top kind of look to them. I didn't really. Moulin Rouge had certainly slow moments to it, but I loved Romeo and Juliet. That movie's shit.
And you loved Australia.
I did not see Australia.
Nah, I don't think anyone did.
I like both of those movies too. I haven't seen Australia. Obviously, it was panned by everyone, and he hasn't done anything since then, or hadn't done any features. So I guess that really effed up his shit. But
Do you think do you think they're going to try to kind of mash up, like, popular culture now with, like, what's going on back then? You know, like, I mean, the trailer has, you know, that Jay-Z song or whatever that goes through it. Do you think they're going to try to pull that throughout the whole movie? Or do you think that's
just
a trailer?
I mean, he has in the past. Stuff like that. So, as long as it's not, like, a big, obvious thing, I like him sneaking them in there.
That's how he do.
Okay.
Yeah. And then as far as Man of Steel goes, I like a lot of I like a lot of Zack Snyder movies. I couldn't watch that much of Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch kinda sucked. But I like Dawn of the Dead. I liked everything else he had done before then. Dawn of the Dead, 300, Watchmen. He did that anime movie I liked a lot. Legend of the Guardians. I like that. Yeah.
What Superman movies have you liked?
Oh, zero. I'm not sure if I've really seen all of any of the older ones, from start to finish. I've certainly seen all of the first one initially, and I think I could say I've seen most of all of the second one. Didn't they make two more of those?
Yes.
With Christopher Reeves? Good lord. And then the most recent one was obviously god awful. If I didn't enjoy the trailers for the new Man of Steel, though, I'm not sure I would be into it. I had a lot of trepidation until I saw the trailers for them. Let's just put it that way.
See, I thought the first trailer got me. I mean, you know, I am not a big Zack Snyder fan. I feel like all of his movies end up being way overhyped, and then they end up sucking. They're always kind of like sumptuous, but they're never like. There's not a lot of substance to him, it seems like, you know? Like, he's very kind of by the book, sort of like making sure that he almost puts in every single cell of, like, the comic book or whatever. So, I mean, it's kind of like an accurate representation of that. But, like, for some odd reason, his movies just never end up being what they should be. So, you know, when I heard that Zack Snyder was doing a Superman reboot, I was like, oh, I'm totally out on this. But then the 1 minute teaser that they released early last year, I was like, oh, this movie could be kind of interesting. They were setting up some kind of interesting things where they were doubting if he should even become Superman and like all that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, I might be into this. But then they've just recently released a new trailer, a full 3 minute trailer today, and it looks basically exactly, you know, what you would expect from Zack Snyder, a by the book sort of action blockbuster thing. So. I don't know, my excitement has tempered a bit since the recent trailer release.
Yeah, I find the Superman mythology kind of lame.
Okay. Is that all you have to say, Doug?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I would say just like Batman has some really great storylines through some of his comics, Superman certainly does too.
The problem is they never use any of them, though.
Well, no, right. They don't. I mean, the one that sticks out in my mind, I guess Joe, you own this one or something like that, was the one where he dies.
Well, obviously.
And you know, I mean, I think they have they're capable of getting good source material. I don't think they can necessarily jump right into that stuff though. So I think if they can make a good one.
I say we start with him dying, and then we have Shaq come back and play the Steel guy again.
Kazam!
Yeah, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. But yeah, no, I mean, this also definitely seems like another sort of throwaway reboot, reimagining of the origin story sort of thing. And I'm just so tired of origin stories. Like, I already know all of them. I don't need to know that, you know, he was sent by Russell Crowe to Earth, and then he was raised by Kevin Costner for like a third to a half of the movie. You know, I just want to like. It would be much more interesting if they just jumped right in and then maybe did like some little flashbacks if they needed to clue people in on Superman's backstory. But, you know, I assume if anyone's going to see the Superman movie, they're already going to know at least the general points that you need to know. So.
True.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's more like, look, we need to make a 2.5 hour movie. If we put in an hour and a half of the origin story, that'll eat up a lot of screen time for us, and we'll get some backstory. I mean, that's what they're not like assuming that people don't know what's going on.
No, I know that. I'm just saying it's just annoying to have to sit through another superhero origin story. I mean, I understand why they're doing it, you know, so that they set everything up and they eat a bunch of screen time, and then they don't have to like use any of their good ideas, and they can just kind of whet your appetite for the next one. But yeah, I'm just tired of the whole origin thing. So, but yeah, anyway. Jimmy TV, what else do we have?
All right, so we had the aforementioned White House Down, which we've kind of talked about a little bit before, mm-hmm. So we don't really need to get into unless
we will definitely do a very special White House Down podcast.
Yeah, I figure we can talk about that more. World War Z is coming out sometime this summer. I like the book a lot. The movie's obviously going to depart from it a good amount, but their plan is to make it into a trilogy if it does well enough. So I'm curious as to see how much of the book is covered in the first one and what to do with the book, with that.
I can safely say the trailers have not inspired much confidence.
They've been a little underwhelming, but we'll see. Yeah. I really like the book a lot, so I'm in. It couldn't matter how bad.
Yeah.
So I guess the big movie last year was The Avengers, right? Or was that two summers ago?
Well, no, that was last year. We had Avengers, then we also had third Batman.
All right, well, so Josh Whedon's follow-up is this Much Ado About Nothing with Nathan Fillion, Amy Acker, and some other people that looks like it could be mildly interesting. Wait, complete change of pace.
Yeah. Have you not seen the trailer for that?
Guess not.
The trailer looks actually really good.
Yeah, it looks enjoyable.
Yeah. And I mean,
I like
not,
that kind of thing.
I'm not a huge Shakespeare guy, but I mean, the trailer definitely kind of made me want to go see it. Although the lead actor does look like he's not too great. So.
Which one was the lead actor?
It wasn't Nathan Fillion. I know that much.
Yeah, was it Alexis Denioff that is off? Is he the main actor?
I'm not sure.
It's you know, this dude that I'm talking about was on Buffy and Angel. And he was really bad in Buffy. He was getting more tolerable in the Angel series. But I'm curious to see how he does. I know he's – I don't know if he's one of the main characters in Much Ado About Nothing, but I know he was one of the more top-billed people. So I'm curious to see how he does in a legitimate movie.
Well, I mean, the main thing about Shakespeare is if, like, you don't sound natural delivering the lines, then it just completely ruins everything. So.
Oh, well, this dude can speak British like it's his job.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it looks interesting. I'll probably definitely go see that. What else? We got anything else for the summer?
Oh, yeah. A few more. A handful more. The other kind of offbeat random one that I have is Only God Forgives, which is the Driven director hooking back up with Ryan Gosling. They're making a movie.
Ooh,
about some Thailand boxing thing. I don't really. Honestly, it looks just like kind of this dude is a little bit more intense. The dude from Driven is a little bit more intense than he is in Thailand.
Well, I like the little poster they have on IMDb. Ryan Gosling is fucked up
with his face all messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the rest of them are kind of later summer ones, so I don't think a ton of has been released about them necessarily.
Yeah.
The two big ones that I think Baggins already expressed interest in are Elysium and Pacific Rim.
Yes. Yes. We watched the Elysium trailer last week, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if we talked about it on the pod, though.
We did not.
I think we put it off.
Yes. So we will talk about it now, which is an awesome segue. But yeah, no, I mean it looks like it definitely could be interesting as far as sci-fi goes. I mean, I liked District 9 from the same director, Neil Blomkamp, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
So I mean, this one, I mean, aside from the weird thing that they had to put on Matt Damon to make him be able to like fuck everyone up, I think this one looks like it could be definitely pretty interesting. I like they've kind of set up the whole like shitty underworld of the real Earth and then like the moon colony or whatever. So it should be interesting. I'd like to see. I'm definitely kind of excited for that. So
whenever Will Finkter or whatever his name is going to be one of those kind of real kind of primped up dudes, it's always going to be enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
So.
I mean, on Elysium, I'll definitely go see that. And the other one was.
Was Pacific Rim with Charlie Hunnam.
Yes.
And Idris Elba. And I think Charlie Day is one of the top billed people in it too, even though I don't think I've seen him in the trailer for it.
There's no way it's going to be any good, but I can't wait to go see it. It looks so ridiculous.
Based off those people, I have to see it.
Oh, yeah. It just looks so good.
And Guillermo del Toro is the director, so that should be interesting also.
I mean, it looks like a more badass Power Rangers, right?
Yeah, more or less.
With a bunch of people standing in the middle of a robot punching nothing.
Can't wait.
In crazy suits.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's going to be very exciting. And they fight some monsters up in that too, right?
Yep, there's some aliens that come up from the sea or something like that. Like through a portal in the sea or something. I mean, something. The trailer makes it sound crazy.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's going to be a good time, that's for sure.
Indeed. And then the last few things are a couple of sequels. We got Kick-Ass 2 that comes out later. I'm calling this movie 301. I'm not sure if it's really. I don't think it's supposed to be kind of a direct sequel, more of kind of the naval battle of 300. I'm not really excited about 301. It's just coming out. Okay. I am excited about Kick-Ass 2 with Jim Carrey though.
Mm-hmm. That could definitely be good.
Indeed. And then the very last thing, which I had not seen anything of until I got this. All the other ones I had heard of. This movie, Two Guns, with Marky Mark and Denzel Washington, with Bill Paxton and Edward James Olmos. You guys have any idea what I'm talking about?
What?
No clue, but that's a definite go.
Yeah, they're bringing Bill a noise Paxton. On that. Yep.
Two guns?
Your boy Bill Paxton, yeah, two guns.
When I type two guns, sure. All that comes in... Oh, I type two out. Okay.
I'm not even sure I should talk about it. Oh, you guys should just watch the trailer.
Yeah, no, let's not spoil this for me. This looks like it's going to be a very...
You're not listening. Are you watching the trailer right now on the podcast?
No. I'm just saying, I don't want to be spoiled for the trailer when I watch it after the pod.
All I'm telling you is it looks like it's got promise.
Excellent.
Awesome. It's directed by some Iceland dude. All right, on that note, I wanted to ask one question. Are you guys going to end up going to see this third Iron Man, or are you just going to let it go?
I really could not give a shit about it.
Yeah. Skipping that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've seen the end of Iron Man 2. I think I've illegally watched the first half of it on many occasions and just never gotten through.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
Either tomorrow or the next day, I'm going to go see a documentary called Room 237. It's about some crackpots. What they think The Shining is really about. One guy thinks it's about the fake moon landing. Another guy thinks it's about Native American burial ground or something. Looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I've heard of that.
You couldn't have sold it any better, Jose. I mean, you really got me interested now.
Yeah, you should be.
All right, well, maybe next week we'll have to talk about that a little bit.
We will.
Theories of the crackpots.
Yes.
But, so we'll come back at you guys next week, hopefully... later this week, we will also have a Mad Men pod with me and Alan. And until then, I'll whack it.
Can't wait for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Bag it up.